to Ephesians, and we're going to hit this verse a couple times just because it's so good. If there ever was a theme verse for the church, this could be it, I think. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Again, I want to encourage you, if you know someone who's been hurt by the church, we've actually been putting all of our, we put all their sermons up pretty much all the time on our church website anyways, but we've been actually putting these out on Facebook. And so if one of those messages kind of touched your heart, feel free to share it or even to message it someone specifically and say, hey, when I heard this, I was thinking about you. If you got a few minutes, give this a listen. And just try to let God's word continue to go forth and to have its impact that it would have, all right? The verse today is Ephesians 4:32 we'll start with. We're going to do a lot of verses today, a lot of jumping around, but I hope that you'll be encouraged. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, he says to them, speaking of the change of a new person, a new believer, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You follow that verse along, you're kind of like, initially you're like, oh, I can do this, be kind, be compassionate, nah, I can handle that, forgive, no problem. And then you come to that, just as in Christ God forgave you, and you're like, whoa. So that means I have to forgive to the uttermost, right? We've looked over the last few weeks. Remember the first week we spent a lot of time about listening. We talked about how to listen, right? And there will be people probably next week or the next month who will come into this place who've been hurt by the church. And our first response to them is not get over it. Our first response to them is tell me your story. Let me hear from you. Let me hear your hurts. Let me hear what you've been through. And it may be even a while of a relationship where we're listening to people so that they know that we care, okay? Everybody in this room can listen to people. And as we talked about that first week, sometimes, especially for ministers, it's hard to realize this, but sometimes listening is a better ministry than speaking, all right? So as you guys are thinking even this week about who you might be witnessing to or sharing the gospel with or showing love to, make sure that you take some time to hear their heart. One of the best things we can do to help people along the way of church is to listen to their hurts. Then the next week, remember week two, we talked about Joseph, right? If anybody ever had a reason to have some resentment in his life, Joseph did, okay? He was the black sheep. He had a bummer of some brothers, right? They threw him in the cistern. He ends up in Potiphar's house. Things working out great until Potiphar's wife decides she would like Joseph. And the next thing you know, he ends up in jail. He's there for a couple years. What happens? He interprets some dreams for a couple guys, and he says, don't forget me. The one guy makes it all the way back to the king's table, and what does he do? He forgets Joseph, right? And so in 2 years, finally comes back around. The king has a dream. He's like, oh, yeah, there was this guy back in jail. I think he could help you out. And what we see, and again, it just continues to blow my mind, that God takes all that Joseph went through to prepare a path for Messiah to be born. Again, one life, right? So we deal with that all the time, especially in a small church like this. We deal with the power of small things. I'm telling you, Joseph, for most people, would have written him off as a nothing, a small thing that was insignificant, changes not only the world, but changes salvation history because he's obedient to God. And he gets over his resentment. He does that by recognizing that he is not in God's place and that he sees that there's value in God working in his life even through difficult things. If you guys have been hurt by the church, if you can come to those two things, recognize you're not in God's place, revenge and vengeance is not yours, leave that to God. And then if you can see the value that God may take even difficult things in your life and use them for his glory, you can make your way through forgiveness over those church hurts. Really, that's it. It's a lot easier to say than do, but you can do that, okay? Last week, we talked about when church is supposed to hurt, right? The scandal, the offense of the cross. Probably, maybe, as far as I can remember, maybe the most gospel-centered message that I can ever preach. I preached it last week. I'll preach it again, hopefully, a few times this year. That same kind of truth about the cross. This is Jesus, and this is what things are about, okay? If you weren't here, grab a hold of that message, listen to it again and let it become part of your life and share that story. People need to hear about the cross. And the point we made last week was that we don't want to be offensive. There's no reason for us to be offensive. We don't have to be. The cross is already offensive enough. We share the gospel. Let the gospel do the offending. You love and share and serve as you speak the truth of the gospel. Trust me, people will be enough offended by the message of the cross that we don't have to be rude and, you know, act like jerks, if you will. We don't need to do that. Okay? So today we're going to arrive at kind of a different place. And I hope that you kind of hear my heart a little bit today. I would hope today to bring some message for people who haven't necessarily been hurt by the church, but just coming to church can be difficult. Okay, have you ever been there? I don't know if some of you guys may have been there. There's different scenarios. Let me give you a couple that maybe will resonate with people that you know or love. And this, you can kind of pray for them as you go through this message with me today. For some people, to come to church is difficult. I say that because they come alone. All right? Our church is actually kind of unusual this way. I was talking with Brother Daniel down in Faith and Chandler at our men's retreat, and his question kind of to us was, well, what are you guys doing with all these single moms and all these wives who are coming to church but their husbands aren't here? Well, in our church, we seem to have a lot of guys that are showing up. So guys, good job, all right? Don't quit. Keep that up. That is awesome, okay? But that is actually, we're not the norm in that way. Most churches, they have a lot more ladies coming than men. And if you would ever get to hear some of those ladies, sometimes it's hard when they have to wake up the kids and they have to shake the kids and they have to get the car warmed up and they have to do everything on their own to come to church and their husband is not coming alongside of them. And for them, if you will, follow my line of thinking, church hurts because it's a reminder that they are kind of in this thing by themselves. Are you hearing that today? Okay. So if you know someone in that situation, as you work through this message today, maybe there's a scripture or two that you'll put in your back pocket, put in your mind, your heart, and you try to share that with those kind of people who are going through those situations. We want to try to encourage them because that hurt is real, all right? Some people come to church alone like that. For some people, church is difficult to come to because it's a reminder of what they do not have or sometimes of what they have lost. And I have a really good friend, really my best friend from my life. For a long time, him and his wife, they could not have children. And so for them to come to church and for them to have worked with children, love children so much, and for them to come to church and see all these other young couples with kids, and they didn't have any kids, church was difficult. You kind of follow that kind of thinking? Okay. And even sometimes even more so, they would see kids who would come by themselves and their parents weren't even with them, or parents that were mistreating their kids. And their heart would be like, Lord, why do they have kids? And we would raise them and love them, and why is this going on? And for them, coming to church sometimes hurt. Now, a lot of us don't really think of that way probably too much. You know, may not realize that, but some people, that's what they're going through. For some people, and of course in our own congregation, we've been through this a lot as well. Sometimes church is a reminder of relationships that people miss. All right, I don't want to dig too deep in this, but you guys know what that is. It's somebody that may come, and they've always sat in the same pew for so long, and their spouse or their best friend always sat beside them, and the Lord takes that person home, and now they're not there. And that hurts, doesn't it? Because it's a reminder of some of those things that you had, but you don't have right now. And those things can hurt. And for some people, it's a reminder of a life or a time in life they used to have that's not there anymore. This is silly, okay? But Wendy and I are getting to that place that we're going to be the empty nesters, okay? And so poor Wendy, all of her life, she's pretty much had to sit in the pew by herself with her kids. Then even her kids would abandon her for aunts and uncles and friends and Sunday school teachers and that kind of thing. But everything was still around, right? And then sometimes coming to church is, oh man, I don't have my little 4-year-old on my knee here. I don't get to take him out and whip him really good again like I used to. Those days are over. But sometimes church hurts because it reminds us of things that we used to have that we don't have. And even here, sometimes for some of you, church hurts because it's a reminder of maybe what church was when there were other people here, that they're not here. Okay? So today, in all of that mess, if I can use the word, I don't know if that's even the right word, but in all of that today, I want to try to shine some hope into your heart. Again, we do not want to minimize anyone's hurt. And let me say this so clearly. I am amazed and I am so proud at the perseverance of some who participate in worship even when some days are difficult. Some of you don't even have a clue how badly it's hurting some of our people to come into this place and to try to love and serve God when their heart is so broken, but they still come. And you benefit from their perseverance. Praise the Lord for them. And they need to be loved and cherished and nurtured, all right? But I'm so proud of people who make that step because it is sometimes so difficult. And so today I want to give you reminders of the hope in the midst of the hurt. And hopefully from time to time these reminders will encourage you even during the hard days. And I'm not going to minimize anybody else's loss today by sharing all of my losses. I know that most of my losses don't even come close to comparing with what some of you have experienced. But I do know that loss hurts. And I know what it feels like to question God and to be angry and disappointed and sometimes just to feel lost. Anybody else ever been there? Yeah. I know what it is to have a searing pain in your body and realize that it's not anything physical, but it's caused from the pain of losing somebody you love. And it can linger. But today there is hope. There really is hope. So what can you do when it hurts to come and be present at church? Very simple message today. I'm going to give you three big ideas, some scriptures along with those ideas. Again, write down, memorize, take to your heart the ones that challenge you. Let the Lord speak to your heart today, how you can serve others and hear this yourself. The first thing that you can do when it hurts to come and be present at church is to remember that you are not alone. You are not alone. Amen? Today, if you are here, you may feel lonely, but you are not alone. Even in our loneliness, we're not alone. There are other people sitting in these pews today who have very real hurts and fears, and they need you just as much as you need them. Oh, how I wish you could see this. This is a thing that preachers get to see that everybody else doesn't get to see. I was trying to share this with Casey and Isaiah this morning in our class. A lot of times, we don't come to church because they're like, well, I don't feel so great today. Maybe it's not the best day. I'm kind of tired, whatever. And so we don't come because they're like, well, we'll be okay. If I don't come, I miss a week, it's okay. I'll be all right. But what you don't realize is how many people are feeding off of just your presence. How many of you today was your heart encouraged and cheered up just by seeing the kids here today? Right? Did they do anything super special? Did they have some incredible song or great drama or incredible message? They're just here, people. And it just cheers our soul. When you're not here, there's a little less cheer. Are you hearing that today? And Vicky shared this one time too. I think when she first came to Christ, she looked at some of these ladies like that they were, you know, Mother Mary. I mean, they were just saints in her eyes. And she didn't know how she could ever kind of be what they were. And the more she got to know them, she realized they were human too. And they had hurts and they got lonely and they had bad days. But they walked with the Lord through all those things. You guys, when you feel alone, and maybe you're hurting even today sitting in this place, but I want to tell you there are other people sitting in all these different places. And some of those people are hurting like you. And you know what's kind of cool is when hurting people get together and they listen to each other, you know what starts to happen? The hurts start to heal up. All right? Man, you're not alone. You may feel alone. You may feel like nobody gets it. And I'm here to tell you as your pastor today, there are other people that get it. And they're, even in this small crowd, they're sitting right here and they understand. There are other people that know what it is to deal with cancer. There's not just one person in this place that's had to deal with cancer, right? There are other people in this place that know what it is to deal with broken relationships. There's not just one person that's had to deal with a broken relationship, even in this small group. There are people who understand. They know it. They get it. And if you'll share your story with them, they will help you heal. But you got to be part of your family. You got to be willing to do that. You're not alone. Galatians 6:2, Paul reminds us there. He says, here's what I need you to do. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love God with what? With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second commandment is likened to it. What is that? Love your neighbor as yourself. Boom. Right? You will fulfill the law of Christ as you carry each other's burdens. What it is to love your neighbor is to carry one another's burdens. How do we do that? Well, when you're sitting here this morning and you hear that so-and-so is sick or so-and-so is really not doing well, then you write out a card. You give a phone call. You do a little instant message on Tuesday or Thursday before someone's difficult day or special day, and you say, hey, I care about you. I'm praying for you. Can I hear what's going on, right? That's a simple way. Sometimes we'll hear somebody's needs financially, and as a church, we'll need to come together and say, hey, you got an extra 10, you got an extra 20, or what can we do as a church to help out this situation? We're going to carry some burdens, right? Sometimes it'll be trying to help direct somebody to the right place. Oh, man, my friend here is dealing with an addiction. Well, have they been to Celebrate Recovery? I could hook you up with that. They meet every Monday night at such and such place. That's part of what we do when we try to carry each other's burdens. Again, you're not alone. Also today, just so you know, and I you could spend probably a whole few months on this idea, but in the New Testament, there are 94 verses in just the New Testament that use the words one another. 94. So here's one of the ones that I like, and that's the one we read to you this morning. Be kind and compassionate to whom? To one another, right? Forgiving each other as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. You guys, this happens 100 times in the New Testament. In 94 verses, you see these one another's over and over again. We are commended to love and to serve and to treat one another as Christ treated us. So today, I want to remind you, the Lord himself reminds you that you are loved and you are not alone, even in this small group. And especially, one of the best things about a small church is that you can be known. It's pretty hard to hide in this church, isn't it? Right? You come here, people are going to see you. We know if somebody's visiting our church today. You go to the big church, they may not even know you're there. You walk in these doors, we're going to shake some hands and hug some necks, and you are going to get wrapped up. That's okay. That's who we are. And there's people that need to be known like that. And the Lord will send them here, and he'll send them into our lives, and we'll bring them in. And we can love them, okay? You're not alone here. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad I'm not alone here, right? All right. You're not alone because you have a body of believers. You're also not alone today because the Lord himself is with you. Anybody ever felt that? Woo. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the second part of verse 5. The author of Hebrew writes, and he quotes the Lord, and he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Don't you love that word, never? We don't ever use words like that today. We try to be really careful about making those kind of statements. Jesus says, I will not leave you. Never will I forsake you. You may feel alone, but I am always with you. You're not alone. When you come in these doors, it may hurt like the dickens. It may just really trouble your soul. But the Lord says, I'll come through the door with you. You're not alone. I am with you. What a promise. Verse 6, the author of Hebrews says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Be brave, Akshay, Brother Rick. Be brave. We were at our men's retreat. My brother Tyler told a story about a friend of his who was from India. And this friend came over to the University of Champaign. And he told Tyler that he wanted to go bungee jumping. And so Tyler's like, oh, boy, I don't know about this. And he said, I even found the place. It's in Kentucky. We're going to go on such and such a date. We're going to go bungee jumping. I'm like, Tyler's like, okay. Because what Tyler decided was, well, if I get like 6 hours in a car with him, we can talk about the Lord all the way down there and all the way back. So even if I have to risk my very life, I'll try this. Tyler said, they're going down the road. And all of a sudden, Akshay went, be brave, Akshay, be brave. Tyler said he did that almost 50 times going down to Kentucky and back. And when he got out there, and they were putting on the harnesses and everything, and they were walking. The whole time they're talking to you and telling what's going, but they're moving you down the line closer and closer to the jump point. And finally they say, pick a tree over there and dive towards it. And said Akshay finally did his last, be brave, and he let out a war cry, and he went over and did his bungee jump. And then Tyler did his too. Tyler said he don't think he'll ever do that again. It kind of rearranged some of his insides when he did it. The whole point is, again, that what can I be afraid of? What can a mere mortal do to me if the Lord has said he will never leave me or forsake me? Now, be careful with this, but you understand this truth, right? And Brother Michael, here's a testament to this. You can be in some of the most dangerous, war-ridden places, but you're in the safest place if you're in the will of God. I'd rather be fighting in Afghanistan and be in God's will than be sitting on my couch watching Netflix being out of God's will. All right? Why can I say that? Because I'm not alone wherever I go. The Lord said he would not leave me. He would not forsake me. Today, again, let me encourage you. If you've been hurting, you're not alone. The Lord has not left you. You may wonder, you may be crying out, but trust me, trust him. He is there. Again, what a promise. There's such a reminder here that things beyond this world are so much more significant and more powerful than the things of this world. I hope you can hear that today. All right, so first thing today, if you're hurting, if the church hurts to come, I want you to remember this, you're not alone. You're not alone because there are people here that love you. And you're not alone because the Lord says, never will I leave you or forsake you, okay? Second thing today, if you're hurting when you come to church, I'm going to say this, and you're probably like, well, I'm already doing this. I'm going to really challenge you on this. Ask for help. Are you asking for help when you hurt? Sometimes when we hurt, we just retreat and we just go in our shell and we stuff things down and we don't ask for help. And again, some of us, that's a problem with our upbringing. I'm afraid I've done some of the things to my son that my dad did to me about being proud. It's good to be proud in a sense. It's good to work hard. It's good to take care of your own needs and not have to have other people take care of your needs. But that's a horrible way to be spiritually. That'll put you in a world of hurt when you think you can just take care of your spiritual self by yourself, because you can't. You have to humble yourself. Let's look together. 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, this is not new to me. This is the Lord speaking through Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Peter, writing to the church, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. A couple things here in their heart. First thing, when you are hurting, you still need to humble yourself. And you may be like, well, I've already been humbled. I'm already hurting so much. You need to let yourself be given into what God has for you. That's so hard. Like Joseph, in his experience, he had to come to that place where he said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to let you do it. And as he did that, he found the ability to forgive, and he found the strength to be what God needed him to be. Peter says the same thing to the church here. Humble yourself. And the Lord, let the Lord lift you up. He didn't say you pick up yourself by your bootstraps and you know, that's what we would say today, right? Peter says, spiritually, humble yourself, and the Lord will lift you. And then the hardest part, did you catch that little part of the end of the verse there, what he said in verse 6? He would lift you up in what? In due time. That's the hardest part, isn't it? Lord, why don't you lift me up today? Good night, Lord. I've been coming to church for a month. You ever felt like that? Lord, I've been reading my Bible like every day for 2 weeks. Why aren't you showing up? Lord, I've been given a tithe, and yet what's going on here? It's supposed to all be magically better. Lord, my heart's been broken, and the scripture says you would fix it. Why isn't it all fixed right now? Oh, it's hard, isn't it? The Lord says he will do it in due time. Again, I take you back to Joseph. Due time wasn't in the bottom of the cistern. It wasn't in Potiphar's house as he was being roused up. It wasn't in the jail cell. It was only until all of those things had happened that the Lord lift him up in due time. And every one of those times, I'm sure Joseph was like, Lord, where are you? Scripture doesn't say that, but I'm sure he was there. Hello? And let me tell you today, it's okay to be there, all right? Today, if you're there, you can say that. And the Lord can handle that. It's not going to bother him. You can say, Lord, where are you? If you say that out of a heart of humility, guess what? The Lord will show up. And he'll start breaking down some of those walls, and he'll start giving you little glimpses of what he's doing, and he'll increase that faith, and he'll help you through what you're going through. The hard part is trusting him on the timing. But the best part is verse 7. It doesn't get any better than this. Who loves you? There's some people that love me. I like to think my wife loves me pretty good. My kids love me occasionally on certain days. My mama loves me, though. See, you hear my wife laughing? You can tell how much my mama loves me, right? Casey, does your mama love you? You think so? Pretty good, yeah. Diane, do you love those yahoos down here? Yeah, she even Diane has to admit she loves them, right? Yeah. It's hard to beat a mama's love, isn't it, right? Mama's love greatly, but here's the deal. What did Jesus say through Peter? He says, cast all your anxiety, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. How did your mom show she cared for you? She made your bed. She paid your lunch money. She kept your dad from beating the living daylights out of you. Your mama loved you, right? How did Jesus love you? You praise the Lord this morning? Jesus loved you with a crown of thorns. He loved you with nails in his hands and his feet. He loved you with the wealthy and the influential mocking him, the very Son of God who could have wiped them out in a matter of milliseconds. And he hung on a cross because he cares for you. If you're hurting today, you don't have to hurt. You're loved. Jesus said, give me those cares. Give me those anxieties. Give me those burdens. I've already borne it all for you. Give it to me. I love you. I care for you. I don't think I can give you anything better than that today. Cast all your cares, your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But you've got to humble yourself to do that. Ooh, it's good stuff, people. If it hurts to come to church, and it will, and for some of us, it may be in the future when it hurts to come to church. Hold on to these verses like this. That in those days when it hurts to walk in those doors or it hurts to come into that body of fellowship, maybe it's a Wednesday night or a small group study or an event, come back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 and speak those words out to yourself. And you're like, this is hard, Lord, but I know I'm going to cast my care on you today because I know how much you care for me. You died for me, and I thank you for that. Let that be encouragement to you. Again today, you may hurt because of what you don't have, but let me remind you of what you do have. You thought about things that way? You kind of get sometimes a little bit messed up in what you don't have, right? We were talking this morning in the Sunday school, just briefly before we went to Sunday school, about the home shopping channel, right? If you see what you don't have, then you can really start just kind of feeling bad about yourself, can't you? Oh, look at that. I wish I had those clothes. I should have clothes like that. Oh, look at that gadget. I don't have that gadget. I should have that gadget. Oh, look at that copper red pan. Nothing sticks to it. I should have that. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? You just see it. You're like, oh, I should have it. Sometimes in our own life, we get so wrapped up in what we don't have that we forget what we do. Some of you today are occasionally a little grouchy about what you don't have. And what I'm reminding you today is what you do have. You got it good. You got it so good. If you know the Lord, if you've been redeemed and changed, if you have the Holy Spirit present in your life, you have so much more. Even this week, I think I was telling my wife I felt sorry for Carmelo Anthony from the New York Knicks. I was like, his team has just been such a disaster and nobody wants him there. And yeah, he got to win a national college championship. And she was like, Travis, he's playing in the NBA. Like, he's making more money than 99.9% of the world. I don't feel that bad for him. And to be honest with you spiritually, that's kind of sometimes how I feel about you guys. I have to go back into preacher mode and humble myself and listen and learn. But sometimes I'm like, come on, people. Look how good you got it. Because we do have it good, don't we? If we know the Lord, if we know his power, we've seen him work, we have hope here and now. We have hope to come. We've got a lot of blessings. I encourage you today, as you have opportunity, as the Lord will allow you to be humbled and to grow in this thought, that really you do have some wonderful things that are a great blessing that can help you through this. The author of Hebrews says it best in Hebrews 4:14. These are so good. Hebrews 4:14-16. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, so let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You have an intermediator like none other. Do you realize that today? This is why we talk about coming to pray or praying in your pew. You have a go-between that sits next to the Father in heaven, who, again, took your place. And it's notice what it's the scripture says there. He was tempted as in every way that we are, but he is without sin. You think Jesus knew the temptation of a lustful heart? He knew that temptation. You think Jesus knew the temptation to choose himself over other people? You think Jesus knew the temptation to be greedy or to have a lust for power? He had all those things. Jesus knew those things. But he knows what it is to experience it and yet to overcome it. That's the best kind of person to talk to, isn't it? Yeah. And so what the author of Hebrews says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get on your knees. And I want you to go to the throne of grace. He didn't describe it as a throne of power or a throne of majesty. He said, this is a throne where grace is given out and delivered. That's the best kind, isn't it? If you will go to the throne of grace, you will find mercy, praise the Lord, and grace to help you win in your time of need, when you're hurting. You guys today, if you're coming in here and it hurts to sit in here a little bit, and it hurts when you think about what you've lost, again, I'm asking you today, ask for help. God said, you come with confidence, you come boldly to my throne of grace, and I'll give you mercy and grace in your time of need. All right, so today, if you would, think about that, ask the Lord for those things. Probably some of my personal favorite verses in the scripture, Matthew 11:28-30. Again, ask. Jesus says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find what? You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come. Jesus didn't say, do these 7 steps. He didn't say, if you do these 17 things, you're in. The call is come. Come. If you'll be real quiet this week and listen, you'll hear the Lord say that to you. Are you hurting and you're broken within? You're not sure you can make it through this next trial, anxiety, worry. Come. Come. Follow me. That's the invitation. Ask for help. Jesus is saying, come. Today, I would say this is so good to me. As a matter of fact, you don't have to be strong, but you have to be weary and burdened. That's a prerequisite for coming. Isn't that good? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's a prerequisite. And guess what? Everybody in here today is pretty much in that club. Right? Yeah. Come. Come. Can you hear him? I can hear him right now. Come. Travis, come. I know you're burdened. Now you overprocess. You overthink everything. You overanalyze. Set that aside and come. Come talk to me. Come listen at my feet. Let me teach you. Let me guide your steps. Let me put you in the paths of people where you can have a difference. Just come. The Lord's saying the same to you, same thing today to you, if you will come. The promise is rest. That's pretty good, isn't it? For those who are hurting, come, I'll give you rest. Some of you today, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for rest in the midst of all your chaos. You're looking for peace in the midst of all these stormy things. And Jesus says, if you come, I'll give you what you need. All right, finally this morning, the last thing. So we've said that as you think about when you're hurting and you come to church, realize that you're not alone. That's the first thing. The second thing is to ask for help. Ask the Lord for help. And then the third thing today, the final thing, is to focus on what is to come. This can be so hard, but again, let it become real in your heart, and it'll help you through so much. Just a couple verses to challenge you today. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And there Paul writes to the church at Rome. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You look at this, and you look at what is to come. This is nothing. All right? Anybody in here just couldn't stand to take medicine when you were a kid? And you can't stand to take medicine now? Right? Sometimes the fear of the medicine overwhelms you, but the healing is so amazing, right? This is probably too personal, but on my 40th birthday, I had my first kidney stone. They're just lovely, aren't they? Anybody ever been through those? They're horrible, right? And I never forget that night, like, I'm getting in the van, but before I can get in the van to go take when you take me to the hospital, I'm actually throwing up because of pain. My only time in my life that it was just pain. The pain was so great that it made me throw. I've never experienced that before. Get to that hospital, and they're like taking their time, writing out my name, my soul, and I just want to grab across the counter like, lady, help me out, I'm going to die, you know, because it hurts so bad. I'm such a weakling in that, right? And they're just working through things. Oh, we'll get to you. Go sit down over here. I'm like, what's going on? I've never been so glad in my life to get the medicine. And then put that in there, and like within like probably 3 minutes, I knew I was going to live. All right. I want to tell you at that time, that little IV prick in my arm pricked me 1,000 times. If you can heal me, I do not care, because that little pain is nothing compared to relief. And hear the message, what Paul is saying today. The little bit of suffering that you're feeling here is nothing compared to the glory that's about to be revealed. They don't even come close. It hurts, and I'm not trying to minimize your hurt today, but I'm saying if you can get a hold of what is to come, what we're talking about is so little compared to something so great, hang in there, right? If that isn't enough to kind of get you thinking about that, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Again, if you read this full chapter, well, real quickly, if you read all the end of chapter 8, you should do that. Let that encourage your heart. I'll never forget the day that I sat next to Russ Dillard and read Romans 8 in that hospital room, and I think the Lord changed both of us in that moment. We were so encouraged by his words in Romans 8. It was amazing, okay? If you're hurting, go dive into Romans 8, verse 18, read through the end of the chapter. I promise you, you'll feel better in just a few minutes after you read that, all right? Romans 8, into that. But also, Paul says here, as he begins to share all of the things he's been through, that he was shipwrecked, he was left for dead, he was beaten 39 times, three different times, and he lays this out after all that in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. He says, we do not lose heart. Important thing there. Did you catch the we? That's why it's so important that you know you're not alone. He didn't say, I do not lose heart, because sometimes I do. But we do not, because we encourage each other. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now look in verse 17. Again, think about what we're talking about. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what's not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There is renewal in Christ if you will but ask and seek. And again, do you catch this idea of light and momentary? How many of you would think being beaten 39 times with a whip would be light or momentary? I don't put that in that box. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't go in that category. How many of you think being stoned and left for dead would be light and momentary? That's not how I define things, right? That's how Paul defined it, because he was so convinced, not just convinced, but he knew so much in his heart of what was to come, that those things were little compared to what was great and glorious. And I'm going to tell you today, this is your preacher's own problem as well here. Folks, we've got to do a better job of getting ourselves more heavenly minded. We've always heard that phrase, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. We've got to get back and fix our eyes, like the scripture says, right? We've got to see the unseen. We've got to notice the invisible. We've got to look at the Lord so that we can take courage and that we can make these difficult things into what they really are in the grand scale of things, light and momentary. All right, that's what Paul lays before us here today. What is to come is so much more than what is now. Your finds and your receives will far outweigh your losses. And I know this is hard to live out, but that's why we're given a command to fix our eyes on the unseen. We have to trust him. We have to trust him. Okay, final illustration this morning. I hope this will help you out a little bit as well as we understand about God's grace in our own life, especially when it hurts to come to church. This is from Brian Chappell. He says, a distressed father sat at the bedside of his comatose son, who was hurt playing basketball. At a crucial point in the game, the 16-year-old had lunged for an errant pass going out of bounds, and as he toppled over a spectator's chair, one of its legs caught him in the stomach, and it actually damaged some vital organs. But because he felt little pain, the team continued to play the game's final minutes while internally he was hemorrhaging. By the time the pain grew enough to warrant a trip to the hospital, it was almost too late. The doctors worked frantically to save him, but the outcome was uncertain. And though the son eventually did recover, those awful hours of waiting for the slightest signs of recovery forced family members to ask questions that they had never before faced. The father was alone on his bedside shift one evening when the pastor visited. Trembling with emotion, the father asked, will God kill my son to punish my sin? No, said the young minister, searching for words that would comfort and grant renewed trust in the God this father now so desperately needed. The Lord is not punishing your son for your sin. He couldn't do that because God punished his son for your sin. That's grace, people. All those things that are tearing you and worrying you, weighing you down, and I can't. God's already taken care of the payment for those things with his son. And his son today is saying, come. Heavy laden, weary burden, come. Anxious cares, come. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. All right? This is the hope the gospel brings. God has made a way and is even now reconciling you to himself. Again this morning, real quickly, you are not alone. Humble yourself and ask for help. And focus on what is to come. For our light and momentary troubles are outweighed by this grand glory that is to come. All right, would you stand this morning? I'm going to play again. I'll play Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus this morning and let even the words of that little chorus speak to your heart. Fix your eyes on what you can't see. And that's what happens when you come into a place and you're so hurting, you're so broken because of what you miss and what's not there. And the Lord says, fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on what's not seen and you'll get the courage, the strength, and the healing that you need to endure. And not to just endure, but to live victoriously, to live with joy and to be able to generously give of yourself even when you've been through so much. All right. Today as we play, just take some time to pray. If you need to grab a friend and come together and pray, feel free to do that. If you need to come by yourself and pray, do that. If you just want to pray where you're sitting, standing, please do that. And most of all today, if you have someone else that you love and you know they've been through this kind of thing, would you pray for them this morning? Ask God's grace to just overwhelm them. Pray that they'll be able to humble themselves and that the Lord will lift them up with his mighty right hand in due time. Let's pray.